And now, Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements, right here on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome to Home on Long Island. I'm Sal Farrow, your host, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. In today's show, we're going to talk about kitchens, the world of kitchens. We've got a guest today, Ron Benkin, who happens to be a colleague of mine from Allure. And we're going to go from countertops to floors to backsplashes to everything you want to hear. Make sure you give us a call if you want to get on today with a question with 631-292-9108. Or you can email us at WHLI.com. Click on Home on Long Island and send us an email. We'll get it and we'll try to answer your questions today. But before we get to Ron, got to say hello to my sidekick, Mr. Seti Selesno over here. How was your week, Seth?
Good morning, Sal. The week was pretty good.
Week was good?
Yeah, we've gotten over the Saints having to win and watch Shockey win a Super Bowl.
Well, we've
had about a week to get over that, so we're doing all right now.
I knew you were going to bring that up, so that's why I had to tee up with that right away. Jeremy Shockey won a Super Bowl.
What a shame.
Deal with it, okay? Deal with the fact that Peyton Manning powdered his way off the field.
Yes, he did.
I thought that was hysterical. I mean, this guy go down as the best quarterback for it. He should have just done the right thing, shake Drew Brees' hand, and so on and so forth.
But the reality is he's only a 500 career quarterback in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. I thought you'd bring that up, too. Well, listen, it's over. It's done. All the hype is done. There's no Pro Bowl because that was done between the Super Bowl and the championship. So football is done, and now we can focus on baseball. Pitches and catches report, I think, in 7 days or so, right?
Something like that, yeah.
I got to get down to Port St. Lucie to see my Mets, and they did a lot of great things in the offseason, didn't they?
Oh, yeah? Well, I can't wait to hear about them.
I'm going to figure it out. I got to do some research on the internet. They did sign Jason Bay, okay? And we did lose Carlos Beltran, so I think we lost more than we gained. We didn't pick up any pitches at all that we're talking about. And we did quarter.
Did you get some knuckleballer?
Yeah. I knew you were going to hit me
with
that.
Picked him up at a Bristol Living or something?
Yeah, no, we'll do. We'll just spend the amount of money the Yankees spend, okay? Anyway, let's get back to what this show is about. Home on Long Island. We talk about homes. We talk about your home, all parts of your home. And we've done a bunch of shows so far. Show on energy. We've done a show on increasing your living space. And we want more, you know, emails and calls to tell us what you want to hear more about. We did a great show on windows, and last week we did siding. This week we're going to do kitchens, and Ron is awesome. I got to tell you, I was part of his coaching and mentoring many years ago when he was just a young tot, and he's grown to, as far as I'm concerned, the best kitchen and bath guy in the region. He actually, I would say he's an expert above me. And we'll see today as we talk about kitchens. I do want to point out one other thing. Did you see today's news day with the whole lighthouse deal?
I did not get a chance to read it yet.
Well, we're talking about construction and building. It looks like the town of Hempstead is going to go to Rexon and Charles Wong and basically tell them, okay, this is what we're going to allow you to do. And maybe we'll have something happen there soon. I think this is what they really were hoping to get. And we need this on Long Island.
It's about time. I mean, it's taking a little too long.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not trying to take any sides, and I understand the town of Hempstead had their issues, but you know, we've got some people who are willing to invest a lot of money in our region, and we need to focus on what we can do and, you know, support any type of development projects that something of this magnitude can make a huge difference on Long Island, not only now in the short time where we need jobs and we need activity, but in the long term in terms of, you know, revitalizing that whole area, bringing jobs that'll stay there, and creating a, you know, a better place to go.
Yeah, that's definitely a big deal. I mean, even as a Ranger fan, I think it would be a shame to see Long Island lose, you know, a professional sports hockey team.
Well, we got to make sure it don't happen. So, everybody, let's support those New York Islanders. Good team, good organization. Okay, so before we get to Ron Benkin, we are going to do our email question of the week. This is a question that we actually did a couple of weeks ago. And I got a couple of phone calls and emails from people. They wanted to hear it again. So instead of emailing them out the answer, I said, you know what, why don't we do it on today's show? And it has to be about energy. It has to do about energy. And, you know, with the big snowfall we had a couple of days ago, I mean, that was a big one. We keep hearing that it's all about saving money, saving energy in a home, making your homes more airtight, so on and so forth. The question was, on a brick colonial, the lower level, how could we add wall insulation? So it's a colonial house. The house is all brick. How do you add insulation into a house that's existing and has brick on the outside? Well, there's two ways to do it. One way is you could go from the inside. You could upset all the sheetrock and all the finish on the inside, drill holes into the wall, and blow in the insulation from the inside. It's not a way I recommend because it just disrupts your whole house, and it's a whole nightmare with cleaning and spackling and repair work, and it's just a lot more work. Most people would say, well, how could you do any outside? The outside is all brick. The proper procedure is you can actually blow in the insulation from the outside through the brick. You drill an inch and a half, inch and a quarter hole in diameter in the top, the highest part of the brick you can drill in the mortar joint. You drill right through that. You drill through the plywood right into the wall cavity. At that point, you blow in the insulation. You start from the top so it falls all the way to the bottom, okay? Blow in the insulation, blow it until it gets to the top. Do it in every bay. And that would be about 16 inches on center. So every 16 inches, you're going to do that same procedure. Drill through the brick, blow in the insulation, patch it, move over. Now, the key to really making sure this works is you have to start off with taking a look at the house, okay, and using a thermal imaging gun. A gun that looks at the house, you point it, and it shows you how the house is performing. So if you take the thermal imaging gun, you have it done, and this is something that's going to be done professionally. You point the gun at the house, you'll see that there's no insulation. You'll see that maybe there's insulation just in the bottom. Maybe you have insulation maybe a foot and a half up in the bays. Take that image, record that image. Do the insulating, have the professional company, because this is really not a do-it-yourself type project. This is a project you're going to bring a professional insulating company in. And the way I'm talking about is the way we would do it in our home performance division. Once it's complete, the insulation's been blown in, you've gone all the way around the house on the exterior, all the mortar joints are pointed, you then can take another, and actually, before you patch in all the mortar joints, you might want to do this. Take another image with the thermal imaging gun and see what you did. At that point, you'll know you have filled the cavities, you'll know if there's any voids in the cavities. You'll basically be able to determine if you got the results you were aiming for. At that point, when you determined you've gotten the results you were aiming for, patch up the mortar joints, and you're all set. I also think if you're going to incur this type, get involved in this kind of a project, have a home energy assessment done. Okay, people call them home energy audits. We call them assessments because we include not only the audit, the going over the energy part of it. We do safety checks, number of different things we do. Have one where you come in, you do it first, and then after the insulation is done, you do it again. Okay, and then you'll truly see the difference in how your house performs. So that was the email question that we missed a couple of weeks ago. I hope it helps you. And we're going to come back in a few minutes. We're going to take a commercial break right now, right here on 1100 WHLI. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Ron Benkin.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back. I'm Sal Farrow. I'm here with my sidekick, Seth Selesno, his nickname is Seti. So feel free to call him Seti. Today's topic is kitchens, and our guest is my good friend and colleague, Ron Benkin. Before we have Ron come on, just remember you can email us at go to WHLI.com, go to the WHLI website, click on Home on Long Island, and there'll be a form there you could submit and send an email to us. You can also call us at 631-292-9108, and obviously you can always go to www.allure.com, A-L-U-R-E, to get more information on anything we're talking about today. So, Ronnie, I want to welcome you to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Sal. Thanks for having me on the show. Hey, well, Seti.
How you doing, Ronnie?
I see Ron's already calling him by his nickname. That's his radio name, Seti. I like that. Ronnie, we're glad to have you on the show. I appreciate you taking the time out today. We really want to stay with our format, which is to educate and enlighten people on how to go forward in projects in their home, whether it's do-it-yourself projects or it's full-scale projects you need to bring in a professional. You being one of the foremost professionals in the industry.
Well, thank you, Sal.
You're welcome. You're a perfect guy to bring on. So the first question I would ask, and it's the first question people would ask me is, I want to get involved. I want to do a kitchen. I've been thinking about doing it for a long time, and I don't know where to start. What do you do?
That's a great question, Sal. People ask that all the time. And I think really you look into magazines and pictures and ideas to try to get a feel as to what you really like. The first step is really just getting a style and know what's going to work well in your house, and the easiest way I found to do that is to open up some magazines. The web, of course, go into some manufacturers, cabinet manufacturers' websites, and they have a lot of good pictures on there. But probably the easiest thing would be just to Google kitchen, and you get thousands of pictures of beautiful kitchens, and just look at them. Print a couple of them, and whoever you end up working with, bring it to them. Just kind of show them what you like, because that's one of the most important things, obviously. You got to live with the kitchen for a long time.
I mean, so you're saying first is get some ideas, and do your little research before you seek out a professional or anything like that. Do some research so that when you're ready to see the professional, you've got a little bit more preparation.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because some of the research material out there is not exactly correct. I've seen all sorts of things that might be misleading because a particular manufacturer is trying to push a particular product. But this kind of research is really just about what you like, what kind of style you like, whether it's more colonial, more traditional, more contemporary, the colors you like, maybe on some materials also, but just very preliminary materials. You really need an expert to work with to explain the materials to you and to educate you through that part of it. So the preliminary is really just a look and feel.
All right. Where does budget come in?
Well, budget is important, but most people have no idea what a kitchen is going to cost. And I, in all the years of doing this, I don't know that too many people came in with a realistic budget. I think if you need to remodel a kitchen, you need to speak to someone to find out what a kitchen like yours, with the kind of things that you want, are going to cost, and then work from there. Obviously, you've got to work within a budget and something that you're comfortable with, but it's very hard to formulate a budget early on before you really get into what's involved, and every kitchen is different.
I think one area people can go to, Remodeling Magazine has the cost versus value report. Mm-hmm. And if they go to remodelingmagazine.com, they could look at the cost versus value report and see what similar projects cost in their region. You've got the Northeast region, Mid-Atlantic, Midwest, so on and so forth.
It's a great publication. It also gives you an idea of what the value of it is when you go ahead and sell the house later on, because it's a good investment. So that's a great one. But again, that's very generic because some kitchens are much larger than others. So, yeah, just to give you a good feel for it. You know, another rule of thumb, Sal, is what's called the 10% rule. And it scares some people sometimes. But the value of the house, if you take that, take 10% of that, that's approximately how much you should spend on remodeling your kitchen. And that typically means completely gutting, remodeling everything in the kitchen and appliances and so on. Doesn't mean you have to spend that much, but you don't want to underspend.
Is that an industry type of thing? Is that something that, it's not, you said should spend, or actually is it could spend, or is that tend to be the ballpark? If your house is worth, $400,000, you're going to tend to spend around $40,000 on that kitchen. If it's a $300,000 home, you'll spend around $30,000. And obviously, if it's an $800,000 home, you'll spend $80,000. But it's not necessarily true, because you can spend on a $400,000 home, you could spend $80,000 if your tastes are so call for that.
Absolutely. But, when you look at appraised value of homes, that's part of what they look at. They look at, if you overspend on the home, then you're never going to get that money back. If you underspend on the home, then you're really not doing it justice. So it's a very, very rough rule of thumb. And again, it's important to keep in mind that that's based on a complete remodel with everything. In a lot of kitchens, not everything has to be done over. Sometimes the floors are fine. Sometimes the walls are fine. Sometimes you enlarge the room. So the scope of the work is definitely going to affect it.
Okay, so we've done a little investigation. We've looked at magazines. We've taken out, we've looked at websites, we've looked at pictures, we've actually looked at some of our neighbors' kitchens. We are now ready to start the process. We've got some ideas and some thoughts in our head. Now what?
Well, now the best thing that you could do is seek out a professional. And this is not a great project to do yourself. And a lot of people do. A lot of people take it on. But it's not remodeling your home office. This is the center of the house. It's the most important room in the house. And if you made a mistake in how you put this together, and unfortunately too many people do, if you make that mistake, what you're going to end up with is something that you can look at and say, you know what, if I knew this, I would have done it differently. Or I wish I'd
known
that.
That's a good point. You don't want to have any type of thoughts that, you know what, wow, I should have done that. I could have had a V8.
There's too much to know for you to learn it when you're remodeling your own kitchen, unless you're a professional. So seek out the help of a professional, whoever it is, at any level. But make sure that you're working with someone who knows to steer you and gear you in the right direction.
Okay.
And now, what we would do, I could tell you what our process is. What we typically do is the first thing we do is we check the conditions of the home, we check some measurements, and then we need to understand. Our designers work with our customers to understand what their wants and needs are, because a kitchen is about the family more so than the space. Also the space, it's got to fit the space and it's got to work, but it's very much about the family and how the family is going to use it, how many people live in the home, and how many people sit down to eat together and so on. So we really have to understand them.
I think you brought up something very important to I just want to emphasize. you know, you're talking about wants and needs, and I don't think a lot of people understand the difference between wants and needs. You need a sink in a kitchen, right?
Sure.
Okay. You need a stove in a kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
You need a countertop in a kitchen?
Sure.
You don't need a granite countertop in a kitchen.
Exactly.
That's a want. And I think it's important that when you're doing your pre-work, that, you know, and you're looking at the photographs and you're looking at, you're doing all that investigation before you get to the professional, that you determine what your wants and needs are. There are going to be certain things you need. Some people need two sinks. That might be a need. And some people, it's just a want. You don't have to. Some people, if it's a kosher kitchen, it has to have that. So I love when you talk about wants and needs because, you know, as a professional, our job is to not only focus on their needs, but focus on their wants.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
good point.
Most people that remodel their kitchen are going to live with it for a very long time. So if the function is just as important as the look. But the look is very important as well because people entertain in their kitchens more than any other room. Most people go right to the kitchen when they come to your home. So it's not just a place to cook anymore.
That's where we all hang out in my house.
That's it.
We always hung out in the kitchen, and that's why I'm 500 pounds overweight. So we're in the process. We seeked out a professional. And what's the professional going to do first with us? Are there type of surveys? What do you do to get the information out of their head?
Well, we actually go through a survey. We go through a series of questions, and we get direct answers on them, such as, you know, how often do you entertain? Is it formally or informally? A whole bunch of questions like that. Questions about the house, the age of the house, the building department because of permit issues. So we ask those, but then the conversation always opens up into some of the things that they like and they don't like, some of their concerns, how they're going to be using it. If there are a lot of children in the home, they don't want something that's going to hold up. I had a situation with people that were against tile floors because they have small children and they're afraid that they're going to fall and hurt themselves. So it's got to be very specific to the family. So that's the kind of things that we try to draw to understand. And once we have all that information, we can start talking about design concept. Design concept will tell us where we put cabinetry, how much cabinetry we put in, you know, the height of the wall cabinets and so on.
Working triangle, you know, for someone who cooks, that's an important part of the kitchen. How are we going to work? How is the workflow going to be?
Exactly. And that's a great point. You know, work triangle is one of those things that most people have heard of and they know, but they don't really know what it means. They know that it's the points from the sink to the stove to the refrigerator, and that creates that triangle. But what does that really represent? So most people just say the word but don't really understand it.
I actually have a triangle. It's from my couch to my refrigerator to the kitchen table.
That's the rest triangle.
Back to the couch. So, yeah, that's an important thing because, you know, to design a kitchen that's not functional, it's a waste. And most people focus on the looks, the granite, and what they want, but they got to understand a kitchen's also a working room. It's a room that you work in.
Yeah, very often we're focusing on how many stools now to put into the kitchen, more so than where to prepare the food. So where the people are going to sit when they're having coffee and you're having a conversation with them, just as much as preparing food.
All right, so Ron, we got that. We did a survey. We're learning about what they want, what their needs are. We're helping educate them to some of their choices and what they would mean. Like you mentioned, tile floors compared to, say, wood floors. So clients getting education, they're getting coaching. They're getting an opportunity to lay it out on the line what they want. But how long does this whole first process take? And when do you start to direct them towards, you know, making real selections? And when do you talk to them about budget so you can direct them in the right place? Because I've always been a firm believer, you know, design to someone's budget, not to what you want. It's
Absolutely.
About there. It's what they want and need. But also find a budget area so you can say, well, listen, if this is a $40,000 budget, let's design something that gives you as many of your wants and needs as possible in that budget.
Sure. In our first appointment, and it typically takes a couple of hours. So the way I like to look at it is it's a lot of stuff to handle, but if you devote a couple of hours out of your life, a couple of different times, so a couple of different appointments, you get through it, and you get through it very well. In the first appointment, we do all those things that you just mentioned, including some design concept and including that education on product. Because you can't have people give you an idea of what they want unless they truly understand the differences, the pros and cons of the different materials that are out there. And then once you have a good idea as to the scope of work, the products that they might like, then we generally would give them an idea of what the cost would be. And then from there, they've got to be comfortable with it. If not, we can always design up or design down within reason to a budget that they're comfortable with.
Is it difficult to design for somebody you have no clue what their budget is?
Yeah, it absolutely is. You have to have some sort of an idea. But like I said, whether that comes to us from the client up front or whether it's something that we would give them an idea of what it would cost, and then they say to us, that's just not, I'm not comfortable with that, or I am comfortable with it. And one of these days, I'm sure somebody's going to tell us I want to spend more money. But it hasn't happened yet.
You have to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, when we come back, we're going to talk about cabinets and selections, and you're going to tell us some of what's popular today. What are some of the state-of-the-art trendy stuff going on? So we're going to take a commercial break right here on 1100 WHLI. Remember, you can call us at 516-292-9108. You can go to WHLI.com, click on Home on Long Island and email us, or you can go to www.allure.com. We'll be back in a minute.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Ferro, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. 1100 WHLI. We're here with Ron Behnken. Our topic today is kitchens, the world of kitchens. And we've just talked about the whole getting started process on kitchens. And Ronnie pointed something out. I've got a whole audience of people out there thinking I'm 500 pounds. And I want you to know I'm not. I'm actually well under 200 pounds. I'm not going to tell you how much under 200 pounds, but it's over 180 and under 200. And we'll leave it at that. But that was pretty good, Ron. I did have a whole world thinking I'm over 400 pounds. But I do like the kitchen. I do like my work triangle, couch to refrigerator sink. Anyway, so going back to that process, and I think you've done a great job bringing us from initial, I'm thinking about doing a kitchen, to I'm sitting in front of a professional, and I'm working on this kitchen project, okay? You've got the wants, the needs. You've done a survey. You're in the design process. You've talked about designing around a family's needs and their lifestyle and, you know, how they live. How much do they cook? How many children do they have? And that kitchen design is going to be based on that. You're going to put a desk with a computer in there because those kids aren't going to do homework, or you're not. You're going to put different refrigerator based on the type of family life and the type of cooking they do. Is it a kosher kitchen? You've done all of that. Now they're down to, okay, well, what am I putting in my kitchen? So what's that next process?
Product selections. And, yes, our product selection is very important, but the education part really, really comes in handy now. Just going through a 15-20 minute, call it a education process or a seminar, a private seminar or a regular seminar, like we hold these seminars every month to educate people on this stuff because it is preliminary. And once you have that information, it's so much easier to make the decisions on what products you want and so on. So yeah, we go through and explain the difference between the different countertops, the different flooring options that are available, the lighting systems that are available, and so on. And people can now, when they look at a kitchen, can really understand what it is they like about a particular kitchen and what they may not like about a particular kitchen, rather than just making a statement, I like it and I don't like it. And with that, when we start going through the product selections, you know, it's almost like an appreciation for wine, if you will. If you understand wine and you can appreciate it, then it makes it a lot easier to select it and so on, as opposed to just going in as a novice and having no idea. So
it's a great analogy because people who drink wine, they know what they want and they appreciate the differences of the wine. People don't drink wine; they just, you know, they don't understand it. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, so once they have that education, we start going through the design, the product selection process. We select the cabinetry. We select the countertops.
What do you select first? Does someone select a granite or the countertop type first? What's the first thing you're going to select?
You know, it is different for every person, Sal. That's where the first step comes in. When you get the pictures and you bring in some ideas of what you like, the kitchens that you like, you tend to, as a customer, you tend to focus on a particular thing that you really like, and then we work from there. So if you saw a kitchen in a picture and you really like that color cabinetry, then that's what we'll start with. Or you really like a particular type of countertop or a certain feel, that's what we'll start with. So you can't say necessarily that it has to start with one thing. But the two main parts of a kitchen, the two focal points, are the cabinetry and the countertops. So it's typically one of those that we work out of.
And you mentioned a seminar before. I think you told me earlier today the next seminar is going to be on March 11th.
Yeah, we do it once a month. We do it on the second Thursday of every month.
Okay, so that's March 11th. So where is that seminar held?
It's in our showroom, 1999 Hempstead Turnpike, the Allure showroom.
I think I know where it is.
You familiar with this?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Yes.
So the next seminar is March 11th, Thursday, at our showroom, 1999 Hempstead Turnpike. And what time does it start?
It's at 7 o'clock, and it goes on till about 9. Sometimes it drags to 9:30 or so. So it's a couple of hours, and it's very important.
Who's allowed to come?
You know, Sal, that's just it. It's really open for everyone. The focus of the seminar when we came out with it is a lot of people want to get more information, but they're not quite ready to jump into it. They may not feel comfortable sitting down with a designer or feel obligated in some way sitting down with someone and getting into their own project, so they just want to get that education. So we open it up to everybody. The only thing we ask is they tell us ahead of time that they're coming. This way we know how many people to expect, and we have hors d'oeuvres and that sort of thing. But other than that, it is completely open to everybody.
Okay, and that is that seminar held by, I mean, do you run it? Who's actually running everything there?
Well, I started it, but now we have a team of wonderful designers. We have 12 kitchen designers, and that's all they do. And they take different turns. And for us, it's also helpful because it gets them out there. And sometimes it's a personality thing. When you work with a designer, sometimes it's nice to feel to see the different personalities and people that we have to kind of match up and say, you know, I'd feel comfortable working with that person or that person and so on. So we have the different designers come up and talk about the different subjects.
Yeah, you know what I've noticed is with kitchen and bath projects specifically, more than any other projects, there does become more of a friendship, more of a relationship between the designer and the client. They spend more time together, and there's much more, research together to really bring this dream project.
Yeah, because it's a process, and you work with them, and it's exciting, and you want to see what the finished product looks like. And the designers get very much into it, and they get as excited sometimes or more excited than the clients, you know, at different times. So, yeah, and you do. You have to mesh with the person that you're working with. If not, then you're working with the wrong person.
Let me switch gears right now because I want to try to get some of the education out there, that the questions I know people are thinking. I got a question recently. It was actually my nephew, and he says, Uncle Sal, I want to, do my countertop. Should I get Corian, or which we call Solid Surface? Corian's a brand name, but most people think of it as Corian. Should I get a Corian countertop, which is a solid surface, man-made countertop, or should I get granite? And I don't know. Ron, what do you think? What's the differences, and what's the pros and cons?
Well, if you ask me what my opinion and which one I like better, I'll tell you.
Let me guess. Granite.
Oh, yeah. Have it in my house. I think it's a beautiful product, and that's what I prefer. If you ask me which one is better, it's very hard to say one is better than the other. If it was that clear-cut, there would only be one product out there, and no one would have to choose. But very simply, there are attributes to both of them. Most people nowadays go with granite. It is more popular, or coarse.
Is there a big coarse difference?
Not very much. Now, there's a range, and there's a big overlap between them, depending on the color and the particulate size that you go with. But for the most part, they're around the same price range. It's really a matter of what's right for you.
Okay. I mean, granite, it's natural, and listen, I have it in my house. I used to have a solid surface countertop. I did fine with the solid surface. It scratched a little easier, whereas with the granite, you can cut on it, and although I would use a cutting board either way, but the solid surface, it's almost like it needed to be refinished after a while.
Yeah, the solid surface is a very high-maintenance product, and then it scratches very easily. But the advantage is that you can take the scratches out very easily. The granite is extremely durable. It doesn't scratch easily at all. You'd have to take a diamond to scratch it. And because of that, they break into a very, very high polished finish. They don't do that with the solid surface because you would see every little thing. So, yeah, the granite in that respect is more durable. The granite could be more porous, though, whereas Corian is not porous. So you have to be careful and seal it and so on. So, again, pros and cons, how you're going to use the kitchen. But I've got to tell you, a big, big part of it is aesthetics. And Corian was a big part of what we used to do, and there's a lot less call for it nowadays. I just don't think it's as popular.
Really?
Hey, guys, the phone lines are lighting up here. You guys ready to take a call?
All right, yeah, sure. That's good. Okay, so we are going to take a call. Call us at 292-9108. So we've got Juliana from New Hyde Park on the phone. Hi, Juliana.
Hi, Sal. How are you? I have a quick question.
I'm good.
Good. I was shopping for cabinets and was told that today's particle board, it's better than plywood. Is that necessarily true?
I'm going to have Ron answer that question, but thank you for calling, Juliana. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Hi, Juliana. Thanks. That's a very good question, actually. You hear that a lot nowadays. Once again, my opinion is no, it's not. I don't think so. And if it was in my own kitchen, I would prefer the plywood, to be perfectly honest with you. Now, to expand on that, particle board is much better than what most people think of it and what it used to be 10 or 20 years ago. It's much denser, and there's different qualities, different densities, different thicknesses, and it's a million times better than the old stuff that used to soak up water and fall apart. But I still don't feel it's the same as plywood. It's not going to be able to withstand if someone dropped a cabinet. it's not going to withstand the water quite as much, or the screw holding capacity of a plywood. So yeah, it's very good stuff. Now, with that said, if you ask me which one is better, my opinion is plywood. Truth of the matter is that I don't think it's all that important. Not quite as important as most people make it out to be, because once you put cabinets up on a wall and they're screwed to the wall and they're screwed together, in all the years of doing remodeling kitchens, I don't remember the last time that I had a side of a cabinet fail or a back of a cabinet fail. It's usually the part that takes the part that takes the abuse is the drawers, the doors, the drawer fronts.
The hardware.
The hardware, exactly. Not the sides or the back of the cabinets or anything like that. So the straight answer is I like plywood. I prefer it. I don't think it's all that important, as long as you're not using something that's a very inexpensive loose particle board, low density particle board.
You know, that's a good question, and it fits perfect with what we're talking about in terms of selections. If you're going to choose a cabinet, I guess you got to talk about quality. You know,
sure.
Quality is going to affect the budget. And I've always been a firm believer that the most important thing to me in a cabinet was finish.
Yep.
Quality of the hardware, and I don't mean just the hardware, the knobs. I'm talking about the drawers, the drawer glides, things that operate and move around, the hinges on the doors. You did bring up a good point in particle board, and as good as the particle board has become over the years, it still doesn't have the same screw holding capacity that plywood does.
Correct.
And although it's up on the wall and you're commenting about, well, you know, we don't have cabinets failing, that screw holding capacity, that means something to me. That's why I would definitely tend to lean towards the plywood. But from a budget standpoint, you're going to save money going with a particle board cabinet, and you could still have an outrageous finish with awesome drawer glides, so on and so forth. And that's one of the spots where you as a designer can save some people some money to bring them back into budget. So that's an option that works.
Yeah, that's exactly the case, Al. That's what it comes down to. You're protecting in case something happens. If someone abused the cabinets, the particle board may not hold up quite as well. A screw might pop off or anything like that if you slam the doors open or anything like that. Chances are that's not going to happen. But if it does, you're a little better protected with the plywood.
Okay, that's great. I hope that was a good answer for you, Juliana. And any other questions, remember, call 516-292-9108 or go to website whli.com, click on Home on Long Island, and get us your questions or comments about the show. Hey, Ron, before we take another break, I want to ask you one last question in terms of selections.
Mm-hmm.
Ceramic tile floor, wood floor, which way?
Tough one, Sal. Definitely pros and cons, and I'm kind of 50-50 on it. It depends on the people. The ceramic tile is the strongest floor that you can put down, or porcelain tile actually is, which is very similar to ceramic, has the same kind of look. So it's extremely durable, would last just about forever, and as long as you don't take a sledgehammer to it, generally no problems with it at all. So a lot of people prefer that, but it does have its downside. It's colder, it's harder. If there are small children running around, you're afraid that they might fall and hurt themselves. Certainly they can hurt themselves a lot more on a hard tile floor than a wood floor. On the other hand, a wood floor is going to be high maintenance. The traffic areas, the areas where you walk into the kitchen right in front of the sink, those are going to wear down, and you're going to have to sand it every 6 months, year, 2 years, depending on the kind of traffic that you have in the kitchen. So when it's brand new, it looks great, but over time, it starts wearing, and it is more maintenance.
Well, I think you did a great question there. I got to tell you, I had ceramic in my other house,
yeah,
and I put wood in this house. And I agree with you when it comes to the ceramic, and there's going to be certain things where it's easy to clean up, you spill stuff on the floor, but what I didn't like was the transitions between one floor to the other, and in my house it was just easy, all oak floors throughout the whole house.
Yes.
It just made for a seamless transition from room to room, so you're right, there are pros and cons, and so much of it is your lifestyle, how you want to live, and what's important to you. So we're going to take another commercial break. We'll be back here on 1100 WHLI.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Ferro, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. I'm Sal Ferro, president and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. Today I have with me not only my sidekick, Seti Selesno. We have, and he keeps looking at me, telling me, why aren't we talking about the Olympics? And I said, no, this is a show about the homes. And we have our guest today, Ron Behnken. We're talking about kitchens, and we've just taken phone calls at 292-9108. And we have on the phone Susan from Comac. Hi, Susan.
Hey, Sal.
How are you today?
I'm great. I love your show. I just wanted to call in and tell you that, and I have a question for you about cabinets.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad you called in. What's your question today?
I've heard a lot about European versus American cabinets, and I don't even really understand what the difference is between them, if one's better than the other or whatever.
Well, Ronnie?
Hi, Susan. Susan, when you ask about European versus American cabinets, I'm assuming you mean the European style of construction versus the American style of construction, not cabinets made actually in Europe, correct?
Yes. I mean, honestly, that's part of my clarification. I don't really, you know, I don't know what I should be shopping or what I should be asking for.
Okay, good question. Well, very simply, there are cabinets that are imported that are made in Italy or different parts of Europe and are actually sold here in the States. But most of the time when people talk about European cabinets versus American, they're referring to the style of construction. Framed cabinetry, which is the American style of construction, versus frameless or what's called full access cabinetry, which is a European style. So most of the time they're built here in the States and just follow that style of design. Now, just like everything else, there's pros and cons to all of it, and if I was to focus on the most important, typically the European style of construction is going to be more practical, give you more storage, about 10 to 12% more storage in the kitchen, easier to clean, straighter lines, cleaner lines, and so on. Whereas American style of construction typically gives you more of a traditional furniture feel to the kitchen. So depending on the kind of look that you're going for, if you're going for, with a very contemporary look and feel, it has to be full access cabinets or European style of construction. But if you want it to look like a piece of furniture, you want it to look very traditional, typically you'll achieve that look better with frame cabinetry. Not that you can't do it with the frameless, with the European. If you have a very small kitchen, you still want to achieve that look, but storage space is important to you, I would still recommend you using the European. You know, it's interesting. We do probably 70 to 80% European cabinetry, whereas 5 to 10 years ago, it was just the opposite. So space is very important to people. I hope that answers your question.
I think you did a good job, Ron, because people think European means it's built in Europe, and they build. It's a style. It's built here, and we prefer to call it frameless cabinets.
Frameless cabinets, yes. But, you know, sometimes people hear frameless and they think that there's something missing. There's a frame missing. It's very important that people understand a frameless cabinet doesn't mean it's not a good quality cabinet. Generally, not having that face frame
style.
In front. Exactly. You know, the back of the cabinet takes the strength. If you have a good, strong back on a cabinet, then it's not an issue at all, and the cabinet will hold up very well. What you don't really want is a very cheap frameless cabinet. Stay away from those. Those can really fall apart very easily.
Yeah. Those are that's the low-end stuff that you definitely want to not invest your money in that. But you invest in a cabinet, definitely comes back in terms of quality and wear. So, Ronnie, we were talking before we got to these phone calls. We talked a little bit about flooring, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about countertops. I know there's different style cabinets in terms of doors, and there's thermofoil. There's these different foil-type finishes. I understand there's a cabinet coming from Italy with this very unique foil finish. We've got wood finishes. Can you give me a couple minutes on just cabinet door styles and finishes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the market is very varied right now. There's a lot more contemporary stuff coming in, very European products. That's where the thermofoils now are gearing to look very contemporary. There are different acrylics where it's actually an acrylic on the door that gives you a lot of depth. And very contemporary stuff there. And we don't see that quite as much on Long Island. It just hasn't caught on so much. In Manhattan, it's all the rage. The five boroughs are still very much so as well. But Long Island's still a traditional market. And the trend that we're seeing there is sort of transitional, where you incorporate some of the traditional and some of the contemporary, and that's that you're seeing. So we're even doing kitchens with combination doors and finishes, where there'll be a contemporary element with different color and different material within the kitchen, and the majority of the kitchen might be more traditional. These finishes tend to be very durable. Some of them are beautiful finishes. Some of them you really have to watch out. Some of the very high-end products out there are just high-end because they're rare and they're very highly customized. It
doesn't mean they're durable.
Exactly. It doesn't mean they're going to take the abuse.
And it doesn't mean they look good either, because I've seen some of them.
Some don't.
A couple of months ago, I was a judge for a national remodeling contest with Qualified Remodeler magazine, and I was one of five judges, and we judged. Oh, it must have been 40-something categories. I spent a day and a half judging applications, and these were kitchens that were high-end, amazing. I looked at them, I was like, wow, a zebra wood, just some really weird stuff that was very expensive but not necessarily very nice. But if that's your taste, so on, so good. Right. But you mentioned traditional Long Island. Once you get more into Manhattan, tends to be a little bit more, they get a little more risky and very contemporary.
Very contemporary. They also have, it seems that the city has more of a focus on green and on products like bamboo. Bamboo's become very popular there and here, but much more in the city now, because it does tend to take on that contemporary look and feel. You know, we kind of failed to mention, Sal, that you're a CKD.
Yes, I am, and I'm playing stupid today for you.
Yeah, Sal's a certified kitchen designer with the National Kitchen and Bath Association. Pretty much the highest honor you can have is a kitchen designer. So I know you've been busy running the company, not so much focusing on kitchen design, but...
No, I actually...
I forget this stuff.
That was one of the... I got most of my, joy was working with a client and really developing, their dream on putting it on paper and turning it into a reality. And you bring me back to the days when I was very closely involved day to day with clients. And, I'm proud to have that certification. I appreciate you mentioning it. But, Ron, I think we're running out of time now. We're going to do our energy tip of the week. I want to thank you for coming on the show. You did a fantastic job.
Well, thank you again for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Would you come back another time?
I would absolutely love it.
You know, we're going to have a show next week. Our show is going to be about bathrooms, and who knows? Maybe we can talk after the show, maybe get you back here to talk about bathrooms, and we'll go into the world of bathrooms.
Sounds great.
Our energy tip of the week is keep your windows on the south side of your house clean to let in the winter sun. Take advantage of that sun in the winter because it will help heat your house. Close your curtains and shades at night. Open them during the day. That's our energy tip of the week. And, Seti, what'd you think about today's show?
Today's show was very good. A lot of good info from Ronnie. I think I want to do my kitchen now.
Well, the whole idea was, to inspire and motivate people to get into the kitchen and start thinking about if they're in that process. This is a place to start. This is a place we can go. You start with going on the internet. Start with the magazines. Remodeling magazine's a great magazine. It's kind of an industry one, but you get some great stuff out of it. But any supermarket, as you're walking out the door, there are all those great magazines in the house. And get started there. Visit the Allure website. That's a great spot, allure.com. We've got a great section on kitchens and bathrooms. And then from there, feel free to walk into our showroom or any showroom to start looking at styles of cabinets and so on, and getting the style and the European and the frameless and all that other stuff. So anything else you want to hit before we close out the show, Seth, like your Olympics and your dream to be in the Olympics someday?
I've had no dreams to be in the Olympics. I'm not really sure where you got that from. I'm actually a little upset that Lundqvist is going to be playing, every day in the Olympics, and by the time he comes back,
he'll be exhausted.
He'll be burnt out. And
That's the Ranger goaltender, and I hope he comes back exhausted so the Rangers don't win anymore.
I'm sure you do.
Well, listen, we had a great show today. We enjoy having Ron on. Seth, thank you for coming on again.
Surely.
A little shout-out to Holly, who's been on vacation. Hope everything's going well at Petport. And we'll be back next week. We're going to be talking about the world of bathrooms. And just visit us on WHLI.com, WWAllure.com. Give us a call on 292-9108 and just stay connected.
Home on Long Island.
Have a great week.